But do you think, you know, he kind of was respecting your power throughout the fight?
I don't know. I really don't know if he respected my power. I'm not sure. I was able to control him with my jab, so I'm not sure if I was able to, you know, if he was scared to come in or not, because he was coming in, but I was able to make a miss. Towards the end of the fight, I caught him with a big left hook in an exchange. He staggered back. He looked like he was a little bit exposed when he tried to throw his left hook. Mine was shorter, so I probably caught him a little bit off balance.
And then two other quick questions. Number one, how hard was it to not get in those exchanges? Because that's the kind of fighter you are.
It was hard. I'm not gonna lie, it was hard. I like to fight, believe it or not. I like to step in there and fight, but I had to listen to my corner to get this win because Marquez is a big, big puncher and he can punch. He can hurt me at any time in that ring, and I had to stay smart to get this victory.
And then just, you know, who would you want to fight next? I mean, the Pacquiao-Rios winner, or is Mayweather a possibility in your mind?
You know, I really don't know right now, honestly. Fight just happened. I would love to fight any of those guys. I just want to fight the best out there. I keep telling everybody time and time, I just want to fight the best. That's it. Yes, sir.
Kevin was talking about his power. Two questions. Did you ever feel
his power?
And that's one question. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I felt his power in the first round. You know, he caught me the left hook. I felt the power. It was a very, very strong punch, but my legs helped me up. I was good. You know, but he did daze me a little bit. Left hook in the first round.
Now, when you were done, the bell rang. When the bell rang for the 12th round, did you, in your mind, think the fight was close?
No, absolutely not. I didn't think the fight was that close. A lot of the shots when he came and he attacked me on the ropes, he missed a lot of shots. You know, I had good defense, good tight defense. You know, I was blocking, I was rolling, I was getting underneath the shots. A lot of shots was missing. I felt like I controlled the fight. Marquez is a great champion. He's a great warrior. He's a very smart fighter. He's one of the toughest fights I ever had in my life, honestly. He brought it, man. He brought it today.
Timothy Ovia, congratulations.
Thank you.
Would you consider this fight to be one of the fights that you fought smart?
Yeah, the Ruslan fight I fought a little dumb. This fight I definitely had to fight smart. I know the fans are probably a little upset, you know, because I boxed a little bit and I didn't exchange with them. You know, at times I try to make it as entertaining as possible, but you know, I had to box this way in order to get this win.
Did you expect a lot more out of him than you did?
No, not at all. I didn't expect a lot more of him. He's very technical and he's a very strong fighter. I didn't expect a lot more. I knew he was gonna be tough.
Tim, congratulations.
Mike, Thank you. You
talked about respect, your place in the game, how you said a win over Marquez, and even the harshest critics could not deny you that. In the immediate wake of this victory, how do you feel about that situation? Do you think you will finally get that long-run respect?
I don't know. I really don't know. If I get the respect, great. If I don't, keep betting against me. I'm just going to keep winning.
You've now been in the ring with both Marquez and Pacquiao. You have victories over both Marquez and Pacquiao. How would you rate the two of them in terms of difficulty and punching power?
Boy, they both put big punchers. They both big punchers. Marquez dazed me a couple times in the fight. I mean, they're both big punchers. One is coming from the left position, one is coming from the right position. I can't really judge who's better or not, honestly, because in the Pacquiao fight, my feet was hurt. My feet were hurt, so I can't really gauge. I couldn't even move like I wanted to move in that fight. So with that being said, both are great champions, both are great warriors, and they legends in the sport. Living legends.
Tim. Given the fact that you didn't think the fight was close, what went through your mind when you heard the first card, Glenn Feldman's card, 115-113?
I just said, oh, that was it.
Tim, did you feel like it was your speed? It was your speed, and the fact that you were 10 years younger than this guy at the end of the day that really kind of decided this fight. Did you feel his age, you know, creep in as the fight was going on?
No, not really, man. This guy's he's a clever fighter, man. He's one of the best in the world. No, age, man, he still can fight at his best. He still was fighting at his best in there. I didn't feel like age was a factor in there. He still competed. He still came back. He still tried to win really hard. You know, it was nothing. I just thought that, you know, honestly, that my speed, my footwork was the key.
Yeah. him a lot.
He's
a very young. He's got a bright future. But tonight we won, and in his heart he know he didn't want this fight. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to everybody in the name of Home on the Market.
Tim, a question for you. What is your reaction to Juan saying that? I mean, that it seems like, you know.
I ain't got nothing to say. Nothing to say.
Joel, how about your reaction to it? I saw you shaking your head when he was talking.
The belt is right here. The belt is right here with me.
Well, good afternoon to everybody. I mean, obviously, Tim Bradley is never going to get any credit. Like Nacho said, that he is the only undefeated fighter with two losses. Wow, I mean, I'm surprised that such a man with such knowledge couldn't execute a plan in there. They wanted to knock out Tim Bradley and he got frustrated. I'm not really gonna say much. All I'm gonna say is this, his words and Marquez's words can change a lot, just like they did with the Pacquiao fight. When we won that fight at the end of the last round, those words can change a person's attitude towards Tim Bradley. We did our job, we executed the plan, he couldn't do anything. As you can see, Tim Bradley's face is clean, never got hit with a right hand that everybody expected. But you know what? We're gonna keep moving on, we're gonna keep winning. I know that 95% of the people in the arena were against us. We're hoping Marquez wins. And you know what? The only 5% that were on our side were our families and our team, including everybody in this building. I mean, you can see it in the faces. They were doubting Tim Bradley after his last fight. Let's be realistic. Boxing is you hit and don't get hit. You want to see a fight, go to a bar.
All right. All right. Cypher Boxing in the place to be. What we just listened to right now was the press conference after the big fight last night on Top Rank pay-per-view, pitting the last two men to beat Manny Pacquiao. And that was Tim Bradley Jr., who you heard first, and Juan Manuel Marquez, who you heard second. Now, this is becoming old to hear Marquez say whenever he loses that he was robbed. I could understand against Pacquiao, and even in this case, I can understand it, that he felt he did what he needed to do. He was an aggressive Marquez, a Marquez we never see before, a guy that cut off the ring effectively, but just wasn't quick enough, just a little bit slow on that trigger as far as connecting. And he wasn't engaged as much as he likes to. He likes to fight at his own rhythm. And Bradley gave a little bit of a hint as to what he was going to do earlier in the week by giving the options to many interviewers that are asking him during the fight week what he can do to really cause problems with Marquez. And this is one of the answers that definitely tickled my ear. And when it came to fruition yesterday, it was something that made me smile, because I think what we have now is we have another fighter who understands the sweet science and is willing to be the professional that it takes to stick to that game plan the whole time. And that's what we got with Tim Bradley Jr. Desert Storm last night. And I think it'll make people feel a little better about his controversial win over Pacquiao. Now that he took it to Marquez, I think he had some Pacquiao fans that were rooting for him yesterday. Marquez, the sore loser as always, but a man that is still 40 years old and is still competing at the highest level in the game. And one guy that's definitely got a bunch of fights left in him. All I saw was a guy yesterday that didn't have a game plan or options that were as varied as Tim Bradley. When Tim Bradley went to his toolkit, he was able to go there and go there often. His footwork was very surprisingly good, above average, above anything I had seen Tim Bradley produce up to that point. I think he was focused. The time that he took off after that bruising Ruslan Provodnikov fight that left him, you know, admitting that he had slurred speech for a couple of months, he took some time off, got his head straight. And as you can see, the guy is an animal in the gym. He's got the physique of a world-class bodybuilder, but he's also got the intelligence of a world-class athlete. And when he went in there and he out-thought the thinker in Juan Manuel Marquez, there's a lot of people that are going to not give Tim Bradley credit, but slowly and surely, with wins like he had over Provodnikov and Marquez, he's going to win over even the doubters. And he's a poor man's Mayweather at this point. He doesn't have the charisma to sell a big pay-per-view, and I doubt yesterday is going to top anywhere in the 200,000 to 300,000 range. But what he is and where he's situated as far as promotionally speaking is going to be advantageous for his future. He could end up facing the winner of the Pacquiao Brandon Rios fight, which is happening in November. And we also have Provodnikov fighting Alvarado next Saturday. And those guys are all his label mates. Bob Arum, Uncle Bob, affectionately known, has let everybody know that he's been wanting to pit his guys as far as a welterweight tournament, and he's made his own little welterweight tournament, and it looks like he's in the second round. The only guy that he doesn't have added into the mix is Miguel Cotto, and it looks like Cotto is going to be fighting out the remainder of his fighters under the top rank banner, so he can easily be inserted as the wild card into this very, very interesting tournament that he has going on. It's unofficial, but he's got a bunch of good, exciting fighters fighting against each other in all action bouts. And yesterday was a thinking man's all action bout. Marquez, not one for me to see as far as taking a fight to a guy, but he showed that he can do it. He was just a little bit out of his element as to how to apply those skills, and he only had so long to do it. You're talking about 12 championship rounds, and he was faced with an undefeated fighter that wanted to get his due, and he went in there and got it. Tim Bradley Jr. definitely is the man with the plan at this time, and there's a lot of fights waiting for him as Top Right goes on, and there's a lot of fights that he's going to be taking as the other welterweight champion at 147. And we'll see what Top Rank has to do on that. This is Cypher Boxing on K-Chung Radio, 1630 AM, also on the World Wide Web, as we listen to Manny Pacquiao hit that heavy bag. Pacquiao, the congressman from the Philippines, as you hear him hit the heavy bag in the background, is now training in Manila for his upcoming fight in November. A lot of things have to happen for this guy to get back into the Mayweather sweepstakes, so to speak. The last person to win those sweepstakes was a man by the name of Canelo, who looks like he's going to be cashing in upwards of $30 million for his fight with Mayweather. But Pacquiao has made his name, has got his part in boxing history, but he is a fighter and he wants to fight the best out there. And it's looking like if he's going to want to get back to the top so that he can demand the fights that he wants, he's going to have to take it to Brandon Rios. And as you can see, as he's hitting these heavy bags, he's got the punch power and he looks like he's got the fire. And I think maybe training at home might be a good thing for him as far as keeping him on track. His wife is a newly elected official in their hometown. So we've got a power political couple in Pacquiao and Jinky. And it seems like he might be able to turn a corner with a resounding victory against a made-to-order fighter in Brandon Rios.
Thank you.
know, it's always interesting to see Manny Pacquiao train. It's almost as if you're in a casino with the density of the people that are in the room. The only open space is the space that Manny Pacquiao is circling around, be it the speed bag, be it the double end bag, be it the heavy bag. Outside of his little circle of activity is nothing but people packed in. And that's how he likes it. And him fighting at home, him fighting close, this is a business plan that Top Rank wants to develop. And they want to take over Southeast Asia. You know, Macau, as I've said before, is like Las Vegas times 10. And if he can take root and have that Manny Pacquiao fan base grow in Southeast Asia and have his fights be as sought after in Macau as they are in Las Vegas with the population over there, Top Rank might just create a whole different genre of fights over in that part of the area. Right now, boxing is dominated by the United States, by Europe, and for Southeast Asia to take a step in there, Manny Pacquiao is the guy that could bring them into that place, and it's going to be very interesting to see what Bob Arum does. You know, we talk about Bob Arum, but the guy is 86 years old, but he's still as creative as ever, and this is another endeavor that he's bringing to the boxing scene that's keeping everything relevant and keeping all the other promoters on their toes. You know, we haven't heard anything from Oscar, but he is in rehab at this time. But when you have Richard Schaefer over there doing his thing, you know, this is the kind of stuff where you've gotta do better than the next man. And when you put on big shows like this, all you can get is good things as a fan when you have promoters competing this much. And Macau is only going to bring money into the sport. And when you bring money into the sport, then you're going to get the best talent. And that's where all the talent is right now, is in Pacquiao's division. And it's where he's at. We'll see where Top Rank goes with this. But the other two guys that are going to be in this are Mike Alvarado versus Ruslan Provodnikov. And they just had a face-off recently on HBO. And we're going to hit you with that right now. I'll be reading the translation for Provodnikov's answers.
On October 19th, at the First Bank Center in Denver, Colorado, two of boxing's emerging action heroes, mile-high Mike Alvarado and the Siberian Rocky, Ruslan Provodnikov, will meet in a matchup that has the boxing world buzzing with anticipation. But before they ever meet, right here, right now, they face off. Gentlemen. Mike, the last time we saw you in consecutive fights, you were having fight of the year type wars with Brandon Rios. Now they put this animal in front of you. What is it with you? You no soft touches.
Oh, they love the excitement. They love what I bring to this sport. So, I mean, they're gonna put those type of styles in front of me.
Well, what was your reaction when they brought up Provodnikov's name?
I was like, wow, another tough animal, like you said. And I mean, I'm ready for it though. You know, the Rios fights, yeah, if I came out and fought those type of warrior battles and been in them wars, but I mean, they've only made me a better boxer, so.
Ruslan, meanwhile, the last time we saw you, you were in a fight of the year kind of fight with a very determined fighter who you beat on but couldn't break, Tim Bradley. Now in front of you is another kind of fighter with that kind of iron will. What are your thoughts about fighting another guy like that right after Tim Bradley?
Boy, будет очень зрелищным.
It will be very exciting.
Mike. Очень хороший боец, он с характером.
Mike is an experienced fighter. He has a strong character.
Двух характеров, двух волей.
It's a clash of two characters, two wills.
У кого воля будет сильнее,
whoever has a stronger will is going to win.
Сломать волю другого соперника.
Whoever can break the other's will is going to win.
Здесь не будет никакой техники.
It's not going to be about technique. Simply war.
Будет драка.
This is going to be a street fight. I promise you that.
Did you think you won the Bradley fight?
I'm?
Yes. Do you think you won?
После боя сразу же я.
Fight was over.
Думал, что да,
I thought I'd won.
Но после того, как я остыл и посмотрел бой,
when I cooled down and watched the fight over, I thought the judges made the right decision to give the fight to
Bradley. Победу. Я считаю, что он ее заслужил.
I think he deserved it. He's a real champion.
Mike, you rarely hear a fighter answer like that. Especially, he could have been given certain 10-8 rounds. He wasn't given, and he would have won. There's no deception in him. He just comes to go to war. How do you fight a guy like that?
We're gonna fight regardless. I mean, yeah, I could box all night and switch my game plan up, but we're gonna have to fight regardless. So I'm gonna have to fight him off me to box. So, I mean, my boxing game is gonna have to go from fighting to boxing, back to fighting to boxing, fighting to boxing. So, either way, my style's gonna change back and forth.
What do you see when you look at Ruslan Provodnikov?
I see a young, focused warrior ready to steal my WBO world title from me out of my backyard come October 19th.
I'm trying to get into, because it always interests me in fights like this, for both of you. How do you mentally prepare yourself, knowing what you each bring to the table, for a fight that's going to be, let's face it, really brutal? Are you excited by it? Are you scared by it? What kind of emotions? How do you prepare yourself, Ruslan?
Now that I know we're going to fight, I'm very excited and I'm very happy. I'm not scared of anything that can happen in the ring. I'm ready for anything that can happen. I'm not afraid to lose. I just can't wait to get in the ring and show what I can do. I can really fight. I've been fighting my entire life since I was a kid.
Mike, so this is like Brandon Rios, a guy who, when you watch him fight, you get the feeling that the more brutal the fight, the more fun he's having in a way, the more he in some way enjoys it. Is that the way you feel? How do you feel about a fight like this?
These fights only make me better.
But do you look, what do you think? Do you prepare yourself? Or are you like, I have to go through hell right now?
The worst that could happen. But, I mean, all emotions go through my body going into fights like this. I mean, I'm getting nervous, I get anxious, I get excited, but I mean, it's motivating to me.
That's a very honest answer about having all the kinds of emotions going through you.
Yes.
Do you believe guys like Provodnikov or Rios who say there's no fear, there's no nothing, there's just excitement, that they love the action? Do you think they're fronting in some way, or do you believe them?
I'm a warrior just like them, and I know they're going through the same emotions that I'm going through. I know it. They have to be. They know it too themselves.
Why do you think Ruslan doesn't say it in that case?
I don't know. That's on him to figure out.
You understand what he just said?
I understand. I didn't say I don't have fear. Yes, I'm afraid. For every fight, I experience fear, but that fear is what motivates me. That fear is probably my greatest opponent. I must defeat that fear. The opponent is nothing. Fear is what I have to face. Get to the ring. Defeat that fear. The rest is nothing. I'm afraid.
Mike, a fighter with your style, a fighter with your kind of mentality, a lot of times they don't have very long careers, even if they're brilliant careers. At some point, you're looking for a big money fight, and this is what's standing in your way. Do you ever think about it that way?
I do. I know I have a lot of hard work in front of me, and I have to get through him to get to that big money fight. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting.
And it's the same for you. You're a name that gets mentioned every time someone says who could fight one of these big fighters, who would make a great fight. Provodnikov is a name you hear nowadays. but you got to beat that guy to get there. Do you think of this fight that way?
When my manager called and said to me, Ruslan, there's a possibility that you're going to fight Alvarado. You're going to have to fight in his country. I said, no problem, send me the contract. That's exactly what I want. The money, the belt. After that fight with Bradley, they became irrelevant. The people only remember the fights. Only the fights. It doesn't matter if you're champion of the world or not. I'm fighting with all my heart and soul. That's what will be remembered. I don't have much time left in my career. That's why I'm trying to fight as much as I can. I'm trying to beat as many opponents as possible and leave a mark in history, but not for the titles. The rest is irrelevant. That's why I chose this fight. I was the one who initiated this fight. I signed the contract exactly a month before Alvarado. I waited a whole month for him to sign his contract. I agreed with all the conditions in that contract. I don't care.
Ruslan, when the press hears someone say what you just said, usually we're very cynical about it. Yeah, he's doing it for the fame and the glory. Either he's not telling the truth or he's crazy. Or in your case, he's this guy from Siberia and maybe the culture is different. What are we supposed to make of your saying something like that? That it's not about the money, it's not about the titles, it's basically about the glory.
It's not a farce. I already proved that I'm not lying. It comes from my heart. I'm not fighting for myself. I'm fighting for my people. After the Bradley fight, my fans called me the people's champion. That's more important than any belt. It's not a farce. It's what I feel.
That's a kind of tough mentality to overcome.
It is. I see the hunger in him. I see the emotion.
You heard him say that I signed the contract right away. He took a month to sign it, which I infer means that he's ready to fight like that, and you looked at him and thought maybe yes, maybe no. Why did you take a month to sign?
I don't know. It's just the way the whole business went. So,
but did you think at a certain point
I need to fight Provodnikov? I didn't turn anybody down at all, you know.
How do you beat Ruslan Provodnikov?
I pull my heart, my soul. I dig deep. I execute every preparation. I utilize every weapon that I know how. So,
Ruslan, how do you win this fight? Not just put up a great fight, but come away with the win. How do you beat Mike Alvarado?
You have to understand, in this fight, the physical condition and technical preparation are not as important as character and will. And the one who's willing to go until the end will win the match. Whoever overpowers the other's will is going to break the other. You have to be morally prepared for the fight. Not physically or technically. Morally. For Mike to win the fight, he has to knock me out. There's no other way.
Is there anything you want to say to him directly right now?
There's a lot of training ahead of us. I'm going to go to church and light a candle for Mike. I'm going to pray that he won't get hurt while he's training, so we can step in the ring in good health and give the people the fight they are expecting. And they are expecting fireworks. Whoever watches on TV and for those at the fight, they will not regret it. Whatever I promised before the fight with Bradley, I kept my word. I'm promising for this fight again.
October 19th, Denver, Colorado.
Fireworks.
Can't come soon enough.
It's gonna be a good one.
Thank you guys very much for coming here today and facing off.
You know, I'm not one that cares very much for the Max Kellerman face-off series, but this is one that got me fired up for the fight, and this is the fight that's going to be taking place as part of the unofficial welterweight contest tournament that Top Rank is doing. And this is the fight to be looking forward to. As you saw, Ruslan Pravodnikov is quite the philosopher when it comes to this. It's not about the training or the athleticism or this. It's a moral thing. It's the will, and it's about overcoming the other person's will. And this is. If this fight happens the way I think it's going to happen, no matter what happens in this fight, I'm already thinking about Rios versus Pravodnikov. But I'm not going to overlook this fight at all, but Rios versus Pravodnikov is a dream fight right now, the fight I want to see most of all. But you guys got to keep an eye out for this fight that's going to be on HBO, where Top Rank is the sole breadwinner for that boxing station, and one that we're going to be keeping an eye on for all of the Top Rank fights. And they'll have their own fighters also. You got Sergio Martinez over at HBO, but definitely keep an eye out for that fight, Pravodnikov versus Alvarado, in Alvarado's hometown of Denver, Colorado, next Saturday, HBO. And what we try to do here at Cypher Boxing is also give you a little bit of history on the Sweet Science. We're on K-Chung Radio, 1630 AM, Chinatown, Los Angeles. And we do talk about Floyd Mayweather a lot because Floyd Mayweather is boxing at this time. He's boxing's biggest star. But before Floyd Mayweather, as far as undefeated champions go, there was a man by the name of Rocky Marciano that everybody always hears about. And Rocky Marciano was a undefeated heavyweight champion, an Italian-American. He was a smaller guy a lot of the times. Back then, heavyweights really came into the ring anywhere from 205 to 225. A big heavyweight was 225. And that was a Cassius Clay. And in this clip that I'm going to play you of an interview that Rocky Marciano did, it's with an Australian TV host, and they're talking about Cassius Clay. Now, just to give you some background on this, Cassius Clay had already changed his name to Muhammad Ali 2 years before this interview went down. But, you know, this was back in the day where people weren't as respectful of certain religious orders or certain loudmouth or very verbose boxing champions. And so they refer to Muhammad Ali as Cassius Clay as they break down a fight that he had just taken place in. I believe it was 1966. So for those of you who have never heard Rocky Marciano, you get to hear him right now in his Australian TV interview from 1966.
49 times, he was never beaten. He won 43 fights by knockout. He won the world title in 1952. He defended it 6 times and retired undefeated. We're very happy to say welcome to World of Sport to Rocky Marciano. And in just one moment, we'll be speaking with our John Brown sports star, Rocky Marciano. Well, Rocky, it's great to have you here at World of Sport. As you can see, all the fans here enjoy having a champion with them here in the studio. The champions of all sport here in Melbourne, and we're very happy to have another one from America now to say hello to us throughout Victoria.
Thank you, Ryan.
Rocky, how do you feel about the result of the heavyweight title fight this morning? Cassius Clay stopping Brian London in only 3 rounds.
Well, it was expected. Really, this was not a fight of importance. I think it's what Cassius Clay himself calls the bum of the month club. Keeping quite busy, trying to get as many fights as he can before going in the army. And that, I'm sure, will happen. And so it was no surprise to me because back in 59, May of 59, Floyd Patterson, then the heavyweight champion of the world, made easy work of Brian London. And at that time, the American press at least didn't give Brian any kind of credit for anything in boxing. He has not been thought of very much as a heavyweight contender or as of a heavyweight fighter. And in my book, the match should have never been made.
How do you rate Cassius Clay?
At this time, I rate Clay, of course, the best in the country, in the world, as a heavyweight fighter. I don't really know how good he is. He has never been a hit on the chin with a good punch. He's been able to get away from punches extremely well. In fact, I believe this is his greatest asset, getting away from punches, as he did in the Cooper fight. Cooper couldn't hardly hit him. And although it was a fair fight to watch, of course, Cooper didn't hit him once good, and Clay then went on to cut his eye and win the fight. And Clay, all of Clay's fights, he's never been really outstanding. He has had a couple of fights with Sonny Liston that are kind of question mark, dubious. He didn't show real well in them because perhaps he didn't have a chance to show real well with not a good opponent in there. I think it's going to take a good opponent to show just how good Cassius Clay is.
Rocky, there's some remarkable statistics about yourself as a champion. This was the cause of the fight that you fought, or the way that you fought, in that Nat Fleischer lists you as having the shortest reach of any heavyweight champion. Is
that
correct?
Yeah, that is absolutely right. 67 inches this way here, which is not very long.
Well, that's not much more than Rocky Gattolari, our flyweight champion.
That's about right.
Now, did you have to devise the swashbuckling style of punch fighting that you did because of the short reach?
Yes, that was the big reason. I had to sort of get low and try to come up, as we say, from underneath to get in close on an opponent, because the closer I could get to an opponent, the more damage I could do with the short arms. At long range, I just couldn't jab with the great jabbers, such as Joe Louis. When I fought him in 51, he had 11 inches reach on me and was able to just pop that left in my face and keep me at a distance. I had to sort of crowd and move in on him, and that is why the style was really developed.
Rocky, I know that there were overtures made to you, not entirely for reasons financial, to make a return to the ring. This was when Sonny Liston was still champion. Did you ever have the temptation to come back?
It happened before the Sonny Liston fight, actually. Floyd Patterson became heavyweight champion a year after I retired. He then had a few fights with Archie Moore and a few other boys that weren't exciting at all. And then along came Ingemar Johansson, the good right-hand punching fighter from Sweden. And when he won that fight, and I was sitting ringside, he knocked out Floyd Patterson, and it was a dramatic punch, a straight right on the chin, and Floyd Patterson just went backwards and never recovered from that one punch. Ingemar Johansson became the idol, and there was a lot of talk, and there was a lot of spirit amongst fight fans at this time, and this is when I got the urge to come back. I'd only been retired 3 years at the time. I wasn't too far out of good condition, and I took a little vacation for myself. I went away to a training camp close to my home by myself and tried to get myself in condition again as I once did, but I just couldn't. I didn't have the same feeling. I didn't have the same hunger. And for other reasons, I just couldn't concentrate on boxing as I once did. And so I thought it best not to have any publicity on it, but just to go home and call it another day.
If Cassius Clay had been a challenger for your world title, would you have been confident of retaining your title against Cassius Clay?
Well, I certainly would have enjoyed a fight with Cassius Clay. He's what we call a perfect opponent. He's tall, he's big, he's rangy. He's on the style of a Joe Louis. I'm talking about physically now. He has the same abilities, perhaps not as a great left jab as Joe Louis, but certainly abilities close to Joe Louis. I can say again, I don't know how great this man is. He could possibly be a great fighter, and time will tell.
Is Cassius Clay good for boxing?
Yes and no. In the beginning, yes. When he first came around, he really got the public excited. He was calling the round, knocking out his opponents at the exact round that he said he would.
Have you ever done this?
No, I never could. It just isn't that way. It isn't that easy. Most of my fights were hard fights and tough fights, and I didn't have the same confidence that Clay has. But in the beginning, Clay was good for the game. I mean, he brought a lot of new life into boxing. I remember people other than boxing fans fans were getting interested in this young loudmouth. And then he overdid it. He talked a little bit too much, a little bit too long, and he talked about the wrong things. And when he brought his religion into the picture, it sort of changed the whole entire setup of boxing. And for the last 2 years at least, two years, he's been sort of bad for boxing. I'm thinking that it's time. My fingers on the hook of your neck. Deep in your eyes is a look of respect. Soft, wet, brown sugar mixed with cinnamon. Said you learned it.
Rocky Marciano right there talking, and as you can hear, very eloquent, no slurring in his words. The man fought 49 times, 43 knockouts, very big knockout percentage, but he wasn't a man that got touched as much as a wild swinging, as he was a very wild swinging, awkward throwing gentleman. He had short limbs, so he had to get in close to do his damage, but if you gave him an inch, he took a yard. He ended up dying in a plane crash before his 46th birthday, I believe. And just another person taken by planes. Small engine plane, I think it was a Cessna. But taken way too early, but he did his damage and he got his name out there, and he's still a legend to this day. He's not put up there with the greats because of the fact that he just didn't have the resume building characters on there such as Lewis had, or Jack Johnson, or even Gene Tunney. And now even you have Muhammad Ali, who fought in a golden age, and which is why he's so exalted as a heavyweight champion. But much like Floyd Mayweather doesn't get a lot of credit because he hasn't fought the greats and wasn't in at the time that there was a legitimate contender to his throne. But what he did do was win every time, and that's what Rocky Marciano did also. And it's always good to hear, you know, the words of the legends, because they lived it, and Rocky Marciano is one of those legends, and he's one of those that stays eloquent. And that's what reminds me of Floyd Mayweather. The two of them is that they're both extremely intelligent men outside of the ring also. But that's what Cypher Boxing is trying to bring to you, Chinatown, Los Angeles. KChungRadio.org. If y'all are listening on the web, we appreciate. Go ahead and chat on there. KChung Radio also doing a residency at the Hammer Museum. Got to give a shout out to them over there. If you guys haven't been to the website in very long, go ahead and take a look at the shows that have been done at the Hammer Museum. And it's funny, the place is called the Hammer Museum, and it sounds like the name of a boxing museum, but I've checked and they don't have anything set up yet, but I'll be given a nudge, and I'm definitely on the lookout. There was just recently an art exhibition where they had black and white photos taken of both the punk rock stars and boxers during fights, and they just had them side by side, and I guess it was a juxtaposition of both of those pictures that tickled the fancy of the people that put on the show. But I was able to take a gander through the gallery, and it was definitely worth it. There's nothing that has pushed boxing into the forefront as far as the sports as much as photography, and it's one of my favorite pastimes is definitely to go out there and search for good boxing photography. And if you ever have a chance, go to Google Images and take a look. It's, you know, you got a man in there with only his gloves and a pair of trunks, and the rest of him is bare to the world, and he's taking a complete punishment and dealing with adversity. And when you get to a good enough boxing photographer, they capture all of those moments. And and a really good gallery right now is the gallery that they just took of the Tim Bradley Juan Manuel Marquez fight. So you definitely gotta go over to Ring Television to check that out and see what's going on. But I just ran into this video of one of my favorite interviewers. This guy is the heir apparent, the Showtime heir apparent to Larry Merchant of HBO. This is the Showtime Larry Merchant, I guess you could say. His name is Jim Gray, and I ran into this YouTube video, and I definitely wanted to share it with y'all. It's called The Best of Jim Gray. The guy's been doing interviews for a long time with Showtime, so this is a breakdown of some of the of his favorites, and I'm definitely gonna take a take take a little bit of time to push my mic down so you don't hear me laughing, but this is some great stuff here. Jim Gray, Showtime, the best of Jim Gray.
Big shout out to everybody in Riverside. And as a kid, I always wanted to meet Don King. But now I think Don King's a fucking asshole and he's a racist.
No. We're not going down that way.
He's racist.
All right, Barry. It was all going well until then. Let's apologize to the audience. We can't control these guys. That's totally uncalled for. Thank you very much. Andre, you won the fight. He's a little confused as to what has happened here. Hold on a second. We're just trying to get him the information. He's not certain as to what has gone on. Andre, are you allowed? Can you talk?
Please stop talking to me, okay? I got, okay, man.
You know what happened?
I got dropped, man.
No, you won the fight. We'll come back and talk to you in just a moment when you are able.
I was down, man. He hit me when I was down.
That is correct. You won by disqualification, Andre.
Is this speaker, man? Please tell me the speaker.
Okay. We'll come back to you in just a few moments when you have a little bit of time to recover.
You know, Jim, I don't know why you come up here. Don't come up here and try to give me no badass questions, try to degrade me. I don't think the guy, I think the man was still.
Question's legitimate. Were you too quick?
Evander Holyfield was a great fighter. Don't diminish that at any time. Holyfield was a great warrior. He came to fight. Bottom line.
Did he ever
Who's
hurt
next?
You?
I got milk, baby. Who's next?
Do you fear Zab Judah's speed, having seen what he can do and having seen what happened here this evening?
I mean, if you ask Zab, does he got the fear, he'll say no.
I'm not asking Zab, I'm asking you.
Don't be rude to me, please.
I'm not, but I mean,
any regrets about anything that went on in the pre-fights and all the news conferences?
Negative. I'm good. I beat Polly. I left with his belt and his girl.
Adrian, congratulations on winning the title. Polly, come on in.
Stop. I'm just saying, you lost.
I know I lost.
Hold on, wait.
Don't brag about taking my side piece. Don't brag about taking my side piece, though. That's my side piece. You don't get laid.
All right. Hopefully we'll have a chance here in a moment to talk to Polly.
Well, first thing, I think that it's a shame that fighters go in the ring that don't even have life insurance, and they go in the ring like me and Mr. Allen and risk our lives for something we love. The promoters risking the business. There's so many people that started a business and went bankrupt and started another business.
But you don't have to fight. You don't have to accept the conditions.
But listen.
Sean, did you believe that you won this fight?
Of course, I do believe that I won the fight.
Based on what?
Based, you know, top on performance. That wasn't my best fight, but you know, Bernard liked to fight ugly, dirty.
Where do you think you won this fight? Because in punches connected, punches thrown, power punches, punches landed, you're significantly behind in all of those statistics.
I don't know about that, but one thing is that I know it's, I was there, I stood there, and I dropped him twice.
You think the first round was a legitimate knockdown?
Of course. Both of them.
If you weren't here in Canada, how do you feel that this would have been judged? Differently?
No, because we got fair judges in Canada, and of course, I'm not really happy because I'm a champion. I like to win a draw, that's not enough for me, but I'm still the world champion, and I didn't have to win that fight.
Will you give him a rematch?
If you want a rematch, anytime.
Anytime, so you would take your next fight a rematch with Bernard Hopkins?
We'll see it. I'm going to talk with my promoter.
Wait a minute. Anytime. How about the next one?
Like I said, I'm a soldier. I'm a fearless. If you want to fight, I have no problem to fight him again.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank you
it.
Very much.
All right, Steve, back to you.
Let me ask.
We don't know what Mills is. Don't put nothing on Mills.
Well, Mills said he stopped the fight. You bit him. Was that a retaliation for the eye when you bit him in his ear?
Regardless of what I did, he bit me for two fights.
But you got to address it, Mike.
I did address it. I addressed it in the ring.
Why did you do that, though, Mike? I mean, was
look
that the proper response?
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I got to go home. My kids are going to be scared of me. Look at me, man.
What are you going to do now in terms of your career, Mike? Will you continue to fight? Okay. Okay.
I thought I worked in my lot. I thought I threw a lot more punches. I thought I carried the pace. I thought I threw a lot more body shots. Tom Schreck is a New York judge that was in Al Haymon's pocket. It's very simple. I mean, 117-111 was a joke, man.
Disgraceful.
That was a joke. This was a close fight.
I ain't gonna answer nobody else's question. I'm going home. We're gonna have a party. Oh, we're gonna have a party. Everybody doubted me. If they don't wanna respect me, fuck them.
You got your respect.
Mike, was that your shortest fight ever?
I bear witness there's only one God, and Muhammad, blessings and peace be upon him, is his prophet. I dedicate this fight to my brother, Darryl Baum, who died. I'll be there to see you. I love you with all my heart. All praise be to my children. I love you. Oh God, man, what?
Is this your shortest fight ever? In any time, amateur, professional, ever?
Assalamu alaikum, Maida. I don't know, man. Yeah, Lennox Lewis, Lennox. I'm coming for you.
Steve, Johnny Tapia, congratulations to you. Johnny, after your loss, did you question that you might not have the fire? You were scared in the locker room before, and you had told us that a lot of great fighters can't come back after a loss. How concerned were you?
Well, first of all, I'd like to give a lot of thanks and praise. Would you do me one big favor while we're in there? Please? Would you say sorry to Pete Rose? Please?
It's got nothing to do with this, Johnny Tapia. You want to address the fight?
Boxing's always full of shit, man. It's always politics in this thing, man. The fans can never go home happy. You know what I mean? You get a great show and then always get spoiled with some BS like this.
Well, aren't you, at this point right now, biting the hand that feeds you? Isn't this part of the game?
It's part of the game, but is it right, Jim? Why would I want
If I don't ask you this question, people are going to be upset. Are you saying this fight was fixed? Is this a path you really want to go down?
I'm not saying it was fixed.
Can we talk about the fight first, Bernard?
It took 9 months. The fight is not really important.
Well, it is to our audience.
I knew I could beat this guy.
Particularly after the first fight. When
the politics put me on a shelf for 9 months waiting for a mandatory that's supposed to take place in 90 days after January 31st of 1998, and it didn't take place until August, you tell me, is it corruption in the sport? And then you tell me, let's talk about Robert Allen? That fight is over with. It's done. That's tomorrow. I don't worry about Robert Allen. I have no doubt in my mind that I can beat him.
I tell you, Jim Gray seems to revel in the environment of talking to a person that's just got done taking tremendous amounts of punishment to every part of their body, including the part of the body that protects the brain, that helps them communicate, and then putting them in a position where they have to use everything left in them to keep up with this man and answer these questions that he's given him. And he does it the best. He's very sharp. He's definitely the anti-Larry Merchant in the way that he talks, where it looks like Larry Merchant is having words dropped down from the ceiling into his head before he can talk. You've got a quick-witted, quick-tongued guy in Jim Gray who gets under people's nerves and has gotten some of the best. You know, when you see that, you see Tapia asking him to say sorry to Pete Rose. I forgot it was Jim Gray that asked Pete Rose those questions. And he's that guy that asks those questions that gets people fired up. And he's got such a piercing stare that after he asks you that crazy question after you just went 12 rounds, it's almost as if you want to go one more round with this guy with the mic. So that's Jim Gray right there. And this is Cypher Boxing, Lou Ism, K-Chung Radio. You know, we've got time, I think, enough for one more clip. I'm going to play this one out as we go out. I just want to tell everybody that's listening online or in Chinatown, thank you for listening as always. And we'll catch you every other Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be the rap show at this hour, my favorite new rap show. And definitely take a gander at that. But we leave you with a little bit of our man Marlon Brando.
How much you weigh, Slim? And you weighed 168 pounds. You were beautiful. You could have been another Billy Kahn. That skunk we got you for the manager, he brought you along too fast.
It was
wasn't him, Charlie. It was you. Remember that night in the garden? You came down my dressing room and said, kid, this ain't your night. We're going for the price on Wilson. You remember that? This ain't your night. My night. I could have taken Wilson apart. So what happens? He gets the title shot outdoors in a ballpark, and what do I get? A one-way ticket to Palookaville. You was my brother, Charlie. You should have looked out for me a little bit. You should have taken care of me just a little bit so I wouldn't have to take them dives for the short-end money.
Well, I had some bets down for you. You saw some money.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am. Let's face it. It's you, Charlie.
Okay. Okay. I tell him I couldn't find you. Then no one won't believe. Here. You take this.